21st, 2023, 9:15 a.m. This is the Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority meeting, so I'm going to go ahead and call that to order. Let's just go ahead and start out. I'd like to make a couple comments. Welcome, and welcome to, I guess this is the, this weekend is the start of rodeo, so everybody's going to be very excited about getting out to the rodeo over the next month. I'd like to talk a little bit about Project 11. We do that every meeting, and there's a lot of really great things going on. Project 11 Segment 1A was completed on February 1st, opening the way for relieving daylight restrictions in the lower 11 miles of the bay. We anticipate that the Corps will issue their assumption of maintenance memo in early March. Once that's accepted, the Coast Guard will place their buoys, and then we'll update the charts. NOAA will update the charts of the widened channel. We're targeting mid-March timeframe for this transition. Pilots are then prepared to lift the current daylight restrictions on Phase 1A. Segments 1B and 2, including the Bayport flare and the rock removal for the widening of the Bayport channel, continue to progress on schedule. As a matter of fact, we had an amazing tour of two dredges that were working in the channel. I say we because these were we were toured or taken to the dredges by the fire boats, and our fire team did a great job getting us out there safely and then hanging around while we toured the dredges. And we took there were five of or six of us. We had Leah, who was so knowledgeable. I mean, this is the kind of person you really want working on these deals. She knew exactly what was going on and helped. Christine was there, Fatima was there, Jordan, and Maria. And I accompanied them. So I would tell you, commissioners, you needed to take that trip at some point. We first toured the Weeks. Dredge, the McCaskill, and it's a hydraulic dredge, and we're using that to build islands in the bay. And then we toured the Curtain dredge, the Avalon, which is the clamshell dredge that is the cleanest dredge in America, and I think it might be the world, Roger, but at least for sure America. It was a really interesting tour, so I would say it would really be good for commissioners to go out and really see them at work. They work 24/7, which is pretty interesting. We just keep going and going, even at night. And they're doing this in the channel when ships are going by. You know, so they're not shutting the channel down at all, which is really good. So we're continuing to have commerce going in and out, and continuing to dig and do what they're supposed to be doing. I think clearly the finishing of 1A is a milestone, a major milestone, and I just want to thank everybody involved, all the major players that are involved in it. The Great Lakes Dredging did that project for us, and we really appreciate all the hard work and all the people that worked on that project. Commissioners, any comments that you might have?
Well, go ahead. I'm glad to hear you're getting a little sea time, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
I do understand that, as Roger said, it saves us 2 hours already. We just completed that one. It's an hour in and an hour out, but it's still 2 hours any way you look. They get in an hour quicker, and they can get out an hour. And I assume that we might pick up another couple of hours when we finish the other three. And that's going to make a big difference. A boat stacked up, and they're going to be able to come and go. So I'm real proud of that.
No question. Any other commissioners?
Good.
Okay, let's move on then to the item C, which is approval of minutes.
So moved.
Second. Any questions or comments? No. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, staff reports.
Yes, yes. Good morning, Chairman, commissioners, and welcome all of our guests here today. Just a few comments on our operations in January, starting off the year. Our cargo activities remain solid. Through our port public facilities through the first month of 2023. Our overall tonnage at the port of all of our terminals collectively is up 6% after the first month. Paul is going to give the operations report today and give a little more detail, but just at a high level, you know, steel imports remain strong, and although although we saw a slight dip in January in our container imports, we continue to see increasing resin demand and driving our export loaded containers, and they were up 31% in January versus last January. So we're seeing, you know, strong movement of export boxes through our terminal. Barber Scud, Bayport are still busy, seeing a steady volume still of transactions through our gate on a weekly basis, 62,000 to 63,000 gate transactions a week, which is staying pretty constant. Our import dwell is down to about 4.5 days now, so it's coming down closer to what it was prior to the surge in volume. You know, there's just a lot of reports out there of significantly reduced volumes in the United States, specifically in imports, and quite frankly, we're just not seeing that so far in Houston. So we're still continue to have solid demand and haven't seen that change yet. One other side note I just want to mention, we've talked about the Saturday gate that we've done in June of 2022. We implemented the Saturday gates at our Bayport and the Barber's Cut terminals to just give additional opportunities for shippers and truckers to move their freight through our terminal, out of our terminal. And we had high hopes that the additional hours would be well utilized, and we're really just still not seeing that at all. We have just last week advertised to the industry that, you know, unless we see a significant increase in gate transactions in the next couple months, we have an exit strategy to stop those Saturday gates at the end of April. I mean, our average interchanges on a 9-hour day, we're doing 62,000 interchanges, 63, mid-60s a week. Between the two facilities on a 9-hour day, we're doing 1,800 interchanges. So the usage of that needs to be much more for it to be a benefit to us and our community. So we're going to plan to exit that down. We're going to talk to and have talked to the industry about this. And, you know, the fact of the matter is we're doing those mid 60,000 transactions a week and providing now, you know, a good 45-minute turn time regularly. There's not much incentive to use Saturday. So
What do we use your average on a Saturday?
As far as
how many changes or how many people are you using?
1,800 between the two terminals. You know, that's in a 9-hour day. That's a couple hours of work, really, during the week, compared to what we do during the week. So anyway, we're out there. We'll continue to talk, and you know, we got to be efficient and beneficial in everything that we do. So just throwing that out there, and we'll continue that conversation. That's all I have, Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Roger, when you talk to the industry folks, what was their reactions? First of all, and did they have any ideas what we could do to help move these containers along?
Well, it's where they're going to and where they're coming from, and you know, just having that availability, and you know, I think it's a common combination of things. Truckers have X amount of hours that they can work in a week, but on the other hand, you know, again, if you're getting good service during the week compared to what it was during some of the peak demand,
Yeah. You
know, there's not much incentive to do it
for that
on Saturday. So
the only thing, and I know you're aware of this, but the congestion just keeps our production on our other ships down so low.
Well, our production's getting better.
Well, it hadn't all around yet, has it? Some of they're still complaining about it.
Well, you know.
I get it.
People are always going to complain, right?
I get it.
So, but you know, that's one of our major focuses. But at the end of the day, our terminals are still busy. You know, Bayport and Barber Scott, and you know, and they're getting a good turn time. We're getting more RTGs in here. We on order. We got 26 on order that'll be showing up. So, we all understand that. But I don't think a lot of that. The Saturday gate certainly isn't helping that.
No, it's not helping. I'm just talking about the production on the ships because of all the congestion. But I know everybody's doing all they can.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments, Commissioners? Okay.
Well, I would like to say I was a little concerned about January, but I'm glad to hear February was an improvement.
Well, that was January numbers.
Well, that's what, yeah. December versus, yeah. Yeah, so that's encouraging.
And Santa Claus was making a lot of deliveries.
Well, when you think about just the economy overall, obviously the Federal Reserve is continuing to try to slow the economy. And usually Fed policy is a year to two after they actually implement it to actually work. So you can expect, I think, a slowdown at some point. And we shouldn't feel bad about it, especially when you think about that relative to other ports, especially the West Coast, because they were down big time last year and we were up big time. So as long as we continue to provide the cost benefit that we do, which is in and out quickly and without a lot of tension and stress labor-wise and what have you, then we're going to still be the port that people want to come to.
Agreed.
Okay. All right, any other questions or comments? Okay, let's go ahead and move to public comment. So I first person up is Ronde Trevino at Public Citizen. Are you online here or are you here? Looks like a...
She should be online.
Okay, are you there?
Good morning, I'm here.
Perfect, go ahead.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for being here today and for answering our questions and hearing our comments. So today I just wanted to say that we at Public Citizen and the Healthy Ports Communities Coalition know and appreciate that the Port Commission is committed to qualifying for IRA funds and especially committing to include a Justice 40 strategy that can benefit communities with the greatest needs. So as you guys probably know, there are currently two positions that are being hired for by advocacy groups, including Public Citizen and Texas Climate Jobs Project. And one position is being hired by the port to work on those grants. We were wondering, could a community, in addition to that, or while those positions are being filled, because I know that our organizations, we are currently working on setting those interviews up and getting that position filled, but we were wondering also, would a community engagement group be able to serve as a sounding board for those grant applications in cases where those Justice 40 portions of the grant applications, you know, just to help with, you know, help supplement, help fill in whatever gaps that, you know, might be there.
Need as much help as we can get on these grants. You know, that's why we're bringing on additional help to fill out those grants and make sure that we are as competitive as anyone. And clearly we need your support and your help in making sure that we fill in any gaps that are there. And I know our teams are absolutely committed to that. So thank you, you know, for those comments.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we're
absolutely
we're happy to help with any way we can. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay, next up would be Leticia Gutierrez. So I think you're online as well.
Yeah, she was a late sign up. I don't see her at the moment. She may not have gotten the message that she was able to speak. So I did send her back a message that we were going to call her, but I don't see her on the screen. Unless she's called.
Well, shows up before we get out of here, she can speak. So let's go ahead and move to the next speaker, which is Captain Jason Smith of the U.S. Coast Guard, Captain of the Port. Captain Smith, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, always good to see you. Thank you for allowing me to address you again. Just to clear the air, some about me, about my hair, and it's not that I'm sick. I appreciate all the concern. I actually lost a bet, Super Bowl bet last year, not last week. So if you don't know, the Coast Guard officers are Eagles, and then our senior enlisted in the Coast Guard are Chiefs. So I challenged my senior enlisted advisor, our Master Chief, to a bet, and I lost. Good guidance for any Coast Guard officer, never bet against the Chief.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I'm here again to speak more specifically about a topic I briefed you on several months ago, maybe even close to a year now. And it's our relationship with the Port through the Partnership in Education Program. To remind you all, the Coast Guard has a program called Partnership in Education, PIE, encourages us to get involved in the local education community. Doing that, we generally engage at what I would say lowest common denominator. When we ask volunteers to volunteer in local schools, going to a high school and teaching high school algebra or calculus is probably not something that everyone can jump right into. But going to an elementary school is easy to do, and we can read to the elementary school kids. But when I got in the job now almost 3 years ago, I was called by Jackie, and Jackie told me that I was on the board for PHPME, and I was honored to do that. And once I realized what it was, I realized the connection that we have with our Partnership in Education Program, PHPME. And in doing that, we created, along with the coordinators for that program, I have Erin and Beth with me today, we created a very aggressive program to engage with PHPME. And since then, we had Commandant come, which I briefed you all on, engaged with Stephen F. Austin High School. We had a rally with about 400 students of the 1,100 in the PHPME program at the high school level. We've also signed an MOU with the Houston Independent School District and have gotten our personnel intimately engaged with almost every one of the Maritime High Schools through the PHPME program. And in doing all that, we realized that we were eligible for a national award, and it's the Partnership in Education Award with the Coast Guard. And I'm happy to announce that we were notified that we won the award. So, and that,
congratulations.
That award is not really just for the Coast Guard. In fact, the recognition is for the Coast Guard and all of our partners. So I'm really glad that it worked out that Jackie's here. Jackie, would you mind coming up? One of the reasons why you had to come today is that you should be coming to more of them in the future too. I don't think we recognize you every single time. Beth and Erin, would you mind coming? So I have two pieces of we have a presentation of an award, and this went to Jackie. You have been phenomenal in our engagement with the PHPME program, both as leading the board as well as engaging with the students. Everyone in between knows and appreciates your initiative, your leadership, and really most importantly, your love. And I can say that from a member who just saw you hug everybody that came in here, to also the students that know you as Ms. Jackie out there, the 1,100 students that you support. So without further ado, I'll read just I'll abbreviate two letters that were given to me to present to you. So congratulations on your selection of the 2022 Coast Guard Partnership in Education Awards for Sustained Excellence. This award recognizes your commitment to supporting local schools throughout the Houston sector, Houston Galveston AOR. Through your leadership, you empowered your members and provided them the opportunity to positively influence over 4,700 students. Your efforts reflect a high degree of dedication, motivation, commitment, and leadership, and are the epitome of a volunteer force. You are all, and this is for all the other individuals that were part of the award, an invaluable part of Team Coast Guard. Once again, my sincere congratulations on your well-deserved recognition, and keep up the exceptional work. Bravo Zulu, that came from Coast Guard headquarters. And then more locally, our district commander in New Orleans wrote another letter and said, I commend you for your outstanding dedication and service in promoting academic excellence with young scholars and students through the Port Houston Partnership in Education program. It is my pleasure to bestow the enclosed plaque to Ms. Jackie Young Hall. Your leadership and support exemplify the Coast Guard core values and ethos in understanding communities and help foster meaningful connections with the next generation of Americans. I look forward to the continued involvement in the Partnership in Education program and to see your unit and our broader community's activities reflect in the program's community of practice during the 2022 and 2023 school year and beyond. Congratulations.
Thank
on behalf of all of us, and even more locally, our local effective youth and government, I want to present you also as one of our commissioners.
Thank you.
Awesome.
If the chairman's okay, I can.
Go ahead.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to try not to cry. This was totally unexpected, Maria. Yeah, I see why I couldn't wear jeans. But it takes a village. That was something I learned at an early age from my grandmother. And I couldn't do it without the support of Roger and the commissioners and Maria, as well as all of our partners. You know, I said last week, and it was really ironic, I don't make money for the port, but I do change lives for the community, and that's what's so important to me. And as I've always told Maria, I'm riding it till the wheels fall off. Thank you.
If I could, Cap, I really appreciate your efforts in maritime education. It's sorely needed, as you know. We've got to replenish our ranks in the merchant marine, and the jobs are there. And so when you get folks that graduate from these programs and looking for work, send them to us. We've got plenty of jobs.
Yes, sir.
And I do also appreciate the Coast Guard's efforts in streamlining the certifications and the qualifications needed for people to ship out. I mean, it's become much more efficient. That's helped a lot, and we're starting to get these jobs covered. So thank you for everything you do.
Great. Thank you.
Commissioners, any other questions or comments? I just want to say thank you as well, Captain Smith. I mean, you know, when you think about the team that we are at Port Houston, I mean, it starts with the Coast Guard, Corps of Engineers, all the labor, seafarers, ILA, Port Houston folks, and it is a team. There's no question it's a team. One thing I wanted to point out is that for people in this room who didn't know this, but the Coast Guard Foundation has actually just cited a person who's local now, Kelly Hodges. I met with her and Brad Sisley last week for their plan to help raise money for additional funds for the Coast Guard Foundation so that we can provide educational support, scholarships for Coast Guard families, other equipment like workout rooms and things like that. And so I'm sure that they will be giving you a call. Kelly's very voracious at fundraising, and I just want to say thank you to the Coast Guard and for being, you know, the captain of the team and the port.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Okay, did we find Keisha?
I just got an email from her. She needs the link, so I was about to send her the link. So,
okay.
In any event, but if obviously, let's just move along.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and when she comes in, we'll just interrupt and let her speak just because she links and things. So let's go ahead with the executive report or the executive to start with. And who's going to do that? I guess, Eric, you're going to do that.
Yes. Sorry.
You do it all, Eric. You do it all.
Multitask.
Yes, you do. Multitask.
Okay, well, we have two items on the agenda this month, both of which are, I would say, sort of expected. The industrial disagreement we entered into with Seabrook, and actually we the Port Commission agreed to it in the fall of 2007. It was all finally signed up in February of 2008. And doing a little arithmetic, that's 15 years ago. Under the state statute, industrial district agreements can only be up to 15 years. We are in conversation with Seabrook to renew that agreement. Those conversations have not yet concluded, and so the city suggested that we enter into a short-term extension of the agreement, and so that's the item. It would be a 90-day extension, but there's a provision in to allow us an additional 90 days. So that is the item. That is the first item. The second item is something we were brought to our attention. You'll recall last year the commission took an action along with Harris County to reduce the late payment penalties for property taxes that the attorneys that handle those collections can obtain. This is what I understand is this is really related to this. This extends the period before the penalties would accrue for 3 months. So that gives people who, as I was told, the folks in the tax office say either can't or won't pay their taxes. But it gives them an additional 3 months to pay pay, and so the county is asking us to adopt that item. So those are the two items on executive.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Any questions or comments?
Well, number two.
Yes.
What's the reason for doing, for extending it to just give our customers more time to pay?
That's exactly right. So normally the penalties would start accruing in April.
Well, are you just suspending it for a period of time, or are you doing away with it altogether?
Just if they didn't pay in April, normally they would start accruing. If we take this, if the commission takes this action, then they would have an additional till July to pay without the one-time penalty accruing. So it really, the idea is, and what I'm understanding from talking to the folks at the tax office, is they believe this is mostly something that will, you know, be a benefit for lower income people, people who don't have enough funds to pay their property taxes in time. So it is an extension.
You're suspending it altogether. You're
no,
not
just three months. Just 3 months.
Okay.
No, they're just.
You'll still get your.
Continues. Yeah, right. Yeah.
3 months later.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. July 1st is when the attorney's collection penalties kick in.
Correct.
Additionally, this is fairly new that you could do the pre-July 1st in the statute, and they're just taking that out. They're saying no, we're going back to the traditional July 1st. Collection penalties apply. It's 20%. It's
a pretty big number.
Right. And this is a Harris County item. We just follow it because they collect our taxes for it.
Right. Is this state as well? State,
well,
that's on that as well.
A state law that permits it one way or the other. But yeah, this was, I spoke to the people in the Harris County tax office, and they advised this is the direction that Harris County Flood Control District. And they were actually working with Harris County Department of Education, which, even though it sounds like it's part of Harris County, is actually a separate elected board, and they were expected to be taking the same action.
Okay.
So this just aligns us with the agencies that tax are collected by the Harris County tax collectors.
And $0 effect to the
right.
To the point, right?
Right. I mean,
okay.
You know, at the end of the day, the county, under our agreement, is obliged to remit the amount of money that's necessary to pay our bonds, and so this isn't going to impact that.
No. Okay. Any other questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. One and two pass. Nothing on business equity. Do we have Leticia? Leticia. She's not on, Eric.
I haven't sent her the link yet.
Okay. Send her the link. We'll go to commercial. Go ahead. We're going to go, Mr. Mosley.
Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It's a short request today for commercial division on behalf of the real estate report. Two long-term leases up for your approval. One is a 2.07 acre site here at the Turning Basin, and the second is just a little over 1 acre.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, ayes have it. Okay. Let's go ahead and go with finance. We're going to have a new presenter.
I'm Norma Esri. Mr. Chairman, members.
Good to see you, Norma.
Earlier this morning, you were provided a copy of the 2022 Risk Management Annual Report, and what it provides is a historical glimpse into our insured and self-insured loss exposure. It also denotes that we are about less than 1.5% of our total cost of risk, and it concludes with a wrap-up or snapshot of our FEMA declared disaster recovery, beginning with Hurricane Ike. The value in providing this report really speaks and coincides with the next two items in the finance, with the first being pertaining to our self-insured program. Request for approval for 1.6 to fund our self-insured loss fund, which pays for workers' compensation and general liability claims and actions. This fund is managed internally, but supplemented with annual actuarial studies to support our funding back to you each year, as well as dictating what our future projected liabilities are. Item two is in regards to our insured program. These are all the insured coverages that fall under the property and casualty program. This program requires a global outreach, which is spearheaded with our broker of record, McGriff Insurance Services. This year, we saw an increase of about 27% total of all coverages. You know, we certainly still exist in a hardened market. Do note that 76% of this premium is attributed to our port assets, which are referring to our real and personal property and our ship-to-shore crane. Another point of contention is that, you know, when we talk with a lot of our stakeholders, with the way the reinsurance market is right now, we're seeing about a 24 to about a 60% increase with our other public entity friends. So given the marketplace, this is not a terribly bad renewal. If there are any questions, I stand ready to answer, respond.
Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Second. Okay, any other questions? And well, we haven't voted yet, and I have a question for you. since you're a very new bright face here to address the commission, why don't you just give us a little bit of background? First of all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Now that you've passed your deal, so how long have you been at the port? What do you do every day, and what do you like to do for fun?
Oh, okay. Well, I've been with the port for 3.5 years.
Okay.
I started right before COVID hit. Ooh. And 4 months later, you know, we're out. I managed both the risk team and the safety team, and so it was really a very creative time for us to really look at, you know, how you really bring people together and ensure projects are handled. I think that's probably been one of the most exciting pieces, and also, you know, really quite difficult when you think about my entire career has been in an office and then going, you know, obviously remote. I think what I like to do for fun is I like to exercise. I know that sounds a little crazy. I do like to exercise. And what I love for is the people. There is not a day that doesn't happen. Something good or bad changes every single day in risk. But it certainly keeps you on your toes.
Great. Well, thanks. Thanks for being here. Okay.
Thank you.
Have we got Leticia up yet?
Kelly told me that she's online. I don't see her. Kelly Day.
Oh, there you go. Go ahead. We're gonna go ahead and do a little different protocol here and give you an opportunity, given we were having technical problems to start with. So go ahead.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Chairman Campo. My name is Leticia, and as many of you know, that I am with Air Alliance Houston, which is a part of HPCC, the Healthy Ports Community Coalition, and thank you for allowing me to speak this morning. I just wanted to basically bring up regarding the 30-year lease that the port right now is getting ready to renew. As I know that you guys are aware, some of the country's largest petrochemical companies reside on your property. And so in you renewing this lease, you know, we feel that the port has an opportunity to continue their leadership and continue on their goals for their 2050 zero carbon plan. We certainly are appreciative of the leadership that you have taken on the sustainability action plan, as well as the clean air strategy plan. But as the port often reminds us, they only directly control 6% of the traffic on the Houston Ship Channel, and the rest is controlled by your tenants. So the port claims that it has zero authority over the direct actions of its tenants. But we see a real opportunity here in this leasing, during this 30-year leasing agreement, to extend some of your influence. A 30-year lease will take each of these companies beyond the 2050 zero carbon date. And we feel that the port should use this opportunity to win commitments from its partners that are equal to its own commitments. You know, we're proposing some of the good neighbor provisions and leases that are commonly used by other ports across the country. And some of those provisions include or could include a commitment to participate in the next emissions inventory, emissions reduction goals that meet or exceed the port's own goals, specific commitments to use clean engines, including stationary engines, trucks, and marine vessels, and a net zero plan by 2050. So these are just some of the things that we were hoping that the port could possibly consider. Again, you know, we strive for a healthier port. for healthy communities, and we appreciate the work that, you know, we've done thus far with you guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate that. Any questions or comments? Okay. Thank you. Let's go ahead and move to, where are we now? Infrastructure.
Infrastructure.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
Rich, we've seen you before.
Probably too tired of my...
What do you like to do for fun? I'm just curious.
You like to exercise.
I rode my bike last night, so... good morning, Commissioner. Just a couple of highlights in the infrastructure news front before I get into the items. We launch projects all the time with the request for commission actions, but we don't often tell you what's gotten finished. So in the last 8 weeks, about $32 million worth of projects have been delivered, including Port Road, as well as the Bayport U-turn and right turn from Freight Station Road, and phase one of the Barber's pop-up yard and some terminal fencing. So these things are getting done. I just wanted to report that back. And then on the sustainability front, this month, Port Houston signed a memorandum of agreement with High Velocity, which is the Houston area, actually extends from Louisiana to Corpus Christi, the Houston area hydrogen hub application, which has been encouraged to go to full application with DOE. So that's a $1 billion effort, 9 or 10 companies involved. In addition, some things are coming up. We are hosting a trucking opportunity workshop with the trucking companies. If hydrogen is going to work, we need to connect the hydrogen supply with the demand, which means hydrogen trucks. So we're going to get a real-world view from the trucking companies as to what's going to work for them, what's not, from a grant standpoint and others. And then we're having the Environmental Defense Fund trustees come to visit the port a week later, as well as discussions with state groups from Denmark, Sweden, Antwerp, Rotterdam, and others, all focused on sustainability, green shipping corridors, and so forth. You'll hear more about that in the community relations meeting. So we have 9 items under the agenda, representing about $5 million in requests. $3.6 million of that request is item number one, so I'll highlight that one. It's for design of the next container terminal at Bayport, which is Yard 8. It's about 40 acres, which will extend now into the eastern portion, formerly known as cruise terminal and auto terminal. And the project is going to add capacity for us to continue to grow. It's got about a 22% SMWBE component, which will probably go to 38% when one of the subcontractors gets its full certification. And the project manager, if you're looking for somebody to ask, is sitting right here, Jessica Shammer. Item 6 supports ongoing development of the dredge materials areas, supporting Project 11, which is basically mitigation credits. And then item 7 is a center point item, Commissioner. So, and then I think Paul is going to talk about item K1, which also has a sustainability component. So he'll highlight the SPRI element of that, which is focused on emissions reduction.
Okay, we have motion on J1 through 9.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
So, we're fixing to start the project for 8. How are we coming on 7? When's it supposed to be finished? Or terminal 6 or 7?
No, Wharf 6 is going to be finished around July this year.
July this year?
Yeah. And then Wharf 7 is fully designed.
Right.
We want to carry right on. We can't be working on 2 wharves at the same time. It just takes, it's too disruptive to operations. Okay. So that'll carry on. And I think we're going to award that when?
In a couple of months.
In a couple of months. It's out right now.
What he said in here.
Wharf 7 is out of flight speed right now for more than a few months.
Oh, okay, good. Good job.
Mr. Coonan is going
to recuse on 7.
Commissioner Coonan is going to abstain from number 7.
And then I just want to say, Jessica, thank you for the commitment to small business, to women, to minority businesses. Much appreciated and noted. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Okay, next up. Okay, so we have Paula Soares. Where is he?
Well, Paula's making his way up. I thought I'd do a little introduction.
Absolutely.
Our senior director of maintenance, who's going to have his 25th anniversary with us later this year. Maintenance has a lot of responsibility. It's the largest department in the port, about 260 employees. Responsible for all 72 of our wharves, where we pull ships and barges up to. All the land behind it, electrical, HVAC, vertical buildings. So if your air conditioner's not working, he's the guy to call. And
24/7.
With that, Paulo, I forgot the most important thing. We have over 400 some odd vehicles in our system. They maintain all of them. We have 150 ship-to-shore/RTG cranes that operate the container terminals, and his staff does all of the procurement and maintenance of those items. So feel free to pepper Paulo with questions.
There you go.
He likes to exercise.
We're going to let him tell us that.
Mike Ryder.
Well, good morning, Chairman, Commissioner, staff. My pleasure being here today. Further to what Roger just mentioned a few moments ago, I'd like to touch on January volumes for our container and cargo operation, general cargo operation, that is. We had, as Roger indicated, a slide down in January, 1.7% versus January in 2022. Good news that the loads are up 7%, although the empties were off 27%. Okay, but overall it was a solid one. Another positive note: the queue of vessels that we had some issues with several months last year, we're down to one vessel. I think it was yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, we had one vessel in the queue. So things are back to normal in that front. Okay, so no big issues there. Here in general cargo operations, steel steady performance. We handle about 520,000 tons of steel. Steel, of course, is our main commodity here. So this is the highest mark in the last 5 years. Another positive note. Okay. As far as the back in my area, in the maintenance area, we continue to support. Continue to work hard in supporting vessel operations, working closely with Jeff and Ryan here behind me and the general cargo staff as well, and keeping things going. We, just for you to have an idea, our wharf cranes work year to date about 11,000 hours with 99% uptime. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
For you to have a perspective, last year we worked about 87,000 hours on the wharf cranes alone with about 99.1% of the time.
Okay.
And here, Turning Basin, we rely on central maintenance heavily to support not only operations here, Turning Basin, but also the container terminal. Those guys are viable to our operations. So kudos to Mike Gignac, Hugh Moore, Nathan Fabian, my managers here, Turning Basin, and Bayport, and Barbara Scott, and also to the many maintenance groups that, that they manage. Appreciate their hard work every day. Before we get to the agenda items, we had a fire. Some of you might have heard. We had a fire on February the 10th, and fortunately, no personal injuries. I'll be working closely with our fire department and looking at some scenarios to safely.
Wharf Crane 308,
by the way, at Barber's Cut. Okay, so I'll be working closely with the fire department and going through some scenarios to quickly rescue operator from the cab in different positions that the cab might be along the boom and the girder of the crane.
Okay. What, could I ask, what portion of the crane caught fire?
The festoon, electrical cables that go from the e-house all the way to the cab.
Right behind the cab.
We had a fire in those cables.
Operator had to crawl out.
Yeah, the operator was able to trolley back to the what we call the trolley park position and was able to evacuate.
Very good.
Okay.
Get the old heart rate.
All right. I selected a couple items of the agenda before you today. K1 and K4. We have six items. K1 and K4. K1 is the purchase of forklifts. We have, between Barber Scott and the port, we have about 19 forklifts, various models, various years of commissioning, and so on and so forth. Those units obviously used daily for the movement of components within shops, transfers, and so on and so forth, including moving spreader bars to and from the wharves and so on and so forth. So we do need to replace seven smaller units up to 10,000 pounds because the ones that we have are quite old. They're over 15 years old, and they need to be replaced. Okay. In our RFP package, we consider option for electric units as well. And just another note, these purchase is going to be partially funded by SPRI, right? So that's the new seaport and rail yard areas emission reduction program. So they're going to contribute about $182,000. So the port exposure would be $464,000 for this purchase. Okay. And item K4 is related to Building 50. Just here on the East Industrial Park. This comes as, you know, recently we had a preferential berth agreement executed with the G2 Ocean, the largest carrier calling turning base, and they need a place to facilitate their cargo handling. So this lease, a 10-year lease, about $3.9 million lease, and an abatement of $1.5 million. That includes siding, roof, work asphalt, loading docks, and some equipment within the building as well. Okay. And if there are no more questions, I'd like to present items K1 through K6.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments?
I have a question. Comment before. You're charging them $3,900,000 or so, and you're abating $1,500,000. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And why are we abating it?
They are going to do some improvements to the building.
They're making the improvements.
Yes.
They're making the investments.
So you're giving the PA.
So we're paying them back for the investments they make in our building.
Yes.
Right.
All right.
Commissioner, that building has been over there since the 40s.
Yes.
And we've made very few improvements on it. In that time, it's a 10-year lease. And we're only abating a portion of 70% of it. They're absorbing some of it.
Okay.
Need an improvement.
Yes.
The D2 Ocean deal attracted rates to our port away from private terminals, and we merely do not have the capacity to facilitate it, but it needs to be a quality building to facilitate the forest products that are going in. It's a good deal for us.
Okay.
Could you talk about a little bit on number one about the item one about you said that we looked at EVs as well,
yes, sir.
Right? And it was the decision to go with and my understanding also is that diesel is the highest tier, the best, cleanest diesel we can get.
Yes,
right?
Tier 4 or 5.
And we're replacing older ones,
yes,
with new clean,
yes,
cleaner, right? And on the EV side, was it an issue of availability and price, or
yes,
both?
Sir. Both.
Both.
Both. Yes. Cost-wise, they're about twice as much.
Twice as much?
As the diesel units. And for the diesel units, we're looking at 6 months delivery time. And the EVs will be up to 12 months and beyond. So, like I said, we're buying the smaller units up to 10,000 pounds, and we'll buy one larger unit. And in both cases, they were twice as much.
So in every case, when you do analysis on replacing equipment, that's the same analysis you do, availability and price relative to the environmental trade-offs.
Yeah, and also the investment infrastructure, mm-hmm, to charge these units. That needs to be factored in as well.
Absolutely. Okay. Great. Thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just want to say, Paulo, that you and your guys have done one hell of a job keeping these cranes and things moving out there with all the hours you're putting on that equipment. Y'all have done a great job. And so, Ryan,
thank you.
Whenever y'all guys started talking to those operators and getting their input,
yes,
has really made a difference too. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments, commissioners? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. 1-6 passes. 1-6. Jessica.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you guys for being here today. I invite all of you guys and the members of the public to stay after the program for the Community Relations Committee meeting, where you can hear more about our sustainability efforts and plans for this year as well. So stay tuned for that. The People Division just has one item on today's agenda, which is dealing with a request for some staffing assistance from IMC. We have had some recent turnover and vacancies with the HR department, and with the demands tied to both our culture and DEI initiatives, we'd like to request some temporary staffing assistance as needed until we're able to get those positions hired and onboarded to support those initiatives. So this will be an as-needed contract, and with the ties of this organization already working with us on our DEI effort and being an SMWBE business, we feel like they're best qualified to come in and provide that assistance.
The motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, security, emergency operations, Captain Woodring.
Yes, good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. We one good news story for this month from my division. We passed our recertification audit for the ISO 28000 standard, which is supply chain security and security management. This was our fifth recertification. We're now on years 16, 17, and 18 of the certification, and we remain the first and only port authority in America to maintain this certification. So great job to the team, and again, highlighting the one and only unique nature of what we have here. So great job to the team. We have one item on the agenda today, and it involves one of our partners in our audit, and that's Allied Universal, which is our security contract. In the spring of 2020, you authorized a contract with them for 3 years with an option for two additional years. That contract starts August 1st each year. We're coming up on August 1st this fall, and we're here today to say that we would like to, our desire is to extend the contract for another 2 years beginning August 1st. We're here this early because obviously if the request is denied, we need time to go out and find a new security contractor considering how big the contract is. There's also a new PO associated with the contract, and that's on the order of $15.6 million, which will kick in August 1st to pay that two-year contract. Is there any questions?
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
A real quick question.
Go ahead.
Because I ask this every time this comes up.
Yes, sir.
But is it cost prohibitive to have armed security at the ordinances?
Yes. The short answer is yes.
And have we looked at expanding our police department to provide this service?
Yes, sir. There's the story is actually pretty lengthy, but we did have armed security guards that we paid at one point. That became our police department. And we've worked with the state attorney general on what's called the Maddox decision. If we are to have people at the gates that are armed, they have to be state certified, which would mean expanding the police department. Allied Universal has, they're up to about 150 employees right now. Our police department's about 50. So to do that, it would be a huge effort on our part. We like the contract method because it is flexible. You can surge. And we don't have to do that internally. We can call them and say, we need a new gate, we need a new post, we have a late gate over here, and they're able to surge somebody to that and expand and contract as needed, especially with things like Saturday gates, increased volume, volume goes down, volume goes up. So we really like having the external component to this to be able to help.
That part I'm not arguing. I'm just arguing the arm versus I still have concerns about us.
As a state entity, there are some state Attorney General requirement for that.
Any other questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, up next we have technology, Mr. Thompson. There he is.
Good morning, Chairman.
See you.
When you're the nth item on the agenda and you're the end, try to figure out how to make this exciting. I have two items.
You can do it.
They're both maintenance items. But before I get to that, I want to thank Norma. Helping us negotiate a better cybersecurity insurance policy.
All right.
You have no idea how hard it is in the current market.
Oh, yeah.
All the things are happening to people to get a quality insurance policy. Now, the N and Next Gen, which is a tickler for the future, is coming your way. Our two agenda items are, one is for our gate operating system, we call it the GOS, to support all the volume that Jeff is doing. We want to have additional spare parts. Our lead times are creeping up. So we want to have a blanket purchase agreement in place directly with the original equipment manufacturer, which makes it sole source for $100,000. The second item is for the thing we do virtual. Imagine everything in, technology, the V stands for virtual. So those are two items on the agenda. I ask for your approval.
Pretty exciting.
Extremely.
Is there a motion?
Move.
I'll second.
Any other questions? You don't want any exciting questions? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Good job. Thanks, Sheriff. Okay. So we are now at our executive
Board.
Go ahead and do it the way you want it.
It's up to you.
No, you do it the way you, the way protocol says.
Take a short break and then go into closed session.
Go ahead.
Yeah. 10:20 a.m. The Court of Commissioners Board Chiefs Authority for Texas will now convene in a closed meeting as permitted by Texas Open Meetings Act Governing Code to conduct a private consultation with attorneys, including consultations regarding the memorandum settlement agreement with Texas, claims of Standard Constructors, Inc., and proposed amendments to the agreement for legal services with Andrew Myers, and deliberate regarding real estate, economic development negotiation or incentives, employment evaluation of public employees, and security-related matters. Court Commission will reconvene in public session to close meeting is adjourned.
Okay, so we are back in session at 10:33 a.m., February 21st. Let's go ahead and I think we have a motion coming out of the session.
Yes. I move to authorize the Port Authority to amend the agreement for legal services with Andrews Myers PC on the terms discussed in executive session and to authorize the Chief Legal Officer to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Second.
All right. Is there any questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, great. We have one other agenda item, Q1. Tom, are you going to take us through that?
Yes, I'd like to put up Q1, which is to approve a change order to George Hedge to perform additional work for the rail spur at Bayport. They will continue with the dirt portion. They currently are doing the rail portion, but they will finish the dirt portion as well.
Okay.
So moved.
Second. Any questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Great. So just a couple last minute items. One of the things that, not items, but just I wanted to sort of finish the meeting to do a couple things. One, I wanted to thank Dr. Carla Wyatt for being here again. There she is. And thank you for the Spark Park calendars. There you go. Thank you for all you do for Harris County and helping us do what we do. One of the comments that was made earlier after when Captain Smith gave the award to Jackie was Jackie made a comment. She said she doesn't make money for the port, but what she does is she changes lives for people in and around the port. And I thought that was really prophetic to a certain extent, because when you think about it, the Port Houston is about moving cargo, right? It really is. It's one of our main things we do, and we make money doing that. And then we take that money and we invest it in the community to create broader jobs and create value for the overall community. And another comment was made about that we have about 6% of the traffic in the port. That means that 94% of the traffic is someone else, right? Which are private entities that employ lots of people, and we are investing our money to improve the lives of those folks as well. And I think it was great for her to mention that and to really recognize that making money is one thing, because you have to, in a business, you do have to make money, otherwise you're out of business. And all of our expenses, when you think about it, are really somebody else's income and somebody else's wages. And so ultimately that is valuable, and it's really an important thing for us to recognize as a community, as commissioner. So I do want to thank all the port folks that do create that value every day, whether you make money for the port or you improve the lives of people in and around the port. Thank you so much. And we're going to have our next committee meeting. It's going to be the community meeting where we invest a lot. So our next meeting is on March 20th on a Monday. And any other comments or questions from commissioners?
I have one.
Yes, sir.
Last meeting, prior to the meeting, I had the opportunity to visit with the chairman, and I was assured by him that all the meetings that have been set, that y'all have in y'all's calendars, will not be changed, regardless of whether a person can be here or not. You get paid the same thing for missing a meeting as you do for making a meeting, which is nothing. And we've got the invent of all of this technology. If you really feel like you need to be present, get on the deal. But it's silly to change six people's schedule because one person can't make a meeting. That doesn't mean anything anyhow, really. We're approving what they do. So I'm told that, but I got one other thing to say. For the first 8 years I was here, I always knew I was going to be on the third Tuesday. And when you went to a doctor and somebody tried, you just knew you didn't do anything on Tuesday, that third Tuesday. You knew it. It was ingrained in you. Don Carlos and Clyde and them can tell you that. We knew that. But now we seem to move it around. I never really know. I have to look at my calendar or call in here to sometimes find out when I'm supposed to be here. I suggest that the chairman and Roger and Tom and whoever get together and set a day certain that we're always going to be here. Now, we know when Commissioner Courts meets because they don't move it around. We know when the city of Houston meets, when Pasadena, Deer Park, all of those people have time days certain. As big as this organization is, you would think we could have a day certain. And I think we should. I think it helps you in the future to know where you're going to be, and it really helps your constituents to know when to come. Now, the pandemic kind of closed down our crowds, and I understand that. But in the first 8 years, we always had this place packed. But you always knew when you were going to meet, too. And when you start moving it around, you start losing the public. You start losing everybody. And as dumb as I am, it confuses me. And I'm the one I'm worried about right now. And I think we should get together and figure out what day of the month that we can meet. And that's the Port of Houston's meeting. August is an exception because we never meet in August unless we got a big thing and we get into a special meeting. Christmas, I think we've always moved it up. But the third Tuesday always missed the holidays. So I don't care which day they pick. But for God's sake, let us know next year every day that we're supposed to be here. It just makes sense for our schedules. And I appreciate it if they'd do some studying on that and come up with a recommendation so everybody knows when this port's going to meet. I think we owe it to the public.
I think we're keeping it, right? There's no talk of...
No, there's no changes at this point. Okay. And what we'll do is, as we set up the schedule next year, we'll make sure that it gets out in advance to make sure everybody takes a look at it. But I don't disagree with you. We need to keep our meetings, whatever they are, they just need to be specific times and not change them around.
And it should be the same time, though, the month, so the public knows. They get used to that. Anyhow,
okay.
That's my
any other comments?
Just to be clear, we've changed some dates the rest of the year. Those aren't going to change.
Right.
I understand that.
Okay.
Okay.
I was told
that's
that.
Correct.
And
just want to make sure.
Again, for whatever reason.
Okay. Any other comments? All right. Well, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.